Oh, what's going on here? Press the right buttons, Mac. Shaving a haircut, two bits. Yes, you can always expect that cheesy ending here on the Antique Phonograph Music Program. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It's me, your host, Mac, here back in the studio. Me and the Victrola tonight, and a big stack of shellac. A bunch of new old records given to me very thoughtfully by listener Mitch. The opportunity to go to his place last week, I believe it was. He had a lot of interesting early stuff and good stuff that I'm happy to bring to you. And it's making me think more about my record collection, about cycling things through. Like a record collection, is it something you have and keep? Or is it something that can keep changing? And I'm starting to think of it like that. Move in old stuff. Move out old stuff. It's like a river. And you never know what might be coming floating by. And that's how I sort of want the Antique Phonograph Music Program to be. Yeah, you'll hear some of the old favorites, but some old non-favorites and some other stuff that I find that I play for you, because it's about playing records from the period. And we started off there with the wonderful All-Star Trio. They were a trio of musicians: saxophonist Wheeler Wadsworth, pianist Victor Arden, and xylophonist George Hamilton Green. Made a lot of great records, about 1919 or a little earlier. Not too far into the 20s, just for a few years, but pretty prolific and really great sound to their records. All right, so let's continue. Now, that was actually a 12-inch record, so they played a little longer. You know, a two-sided 12-inch record, you get practically 8 minutes of music on that for, what are these records, about a dollar each? Something like that? Put a price on these records? Let's see. 75 cents, maybe. Yeah, there you go. Well, let's continue now with another 12-inch record. This is by the Victor Dance Orchestra. It's a 1912 Victor record, and it's called The Great One Step. I'm not saying it's a great one step. It's called The Great One Step. So you can one step. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Boy, that one step is sure a quick dance. You got to be really nimble to be doing that one step. But be good for doing the Peabody, too. You know, you could always slow down your Victrola a little bit if your Peabody steps a little too quick. You could always do that. Remember to leave a lot of room when you Peabody. It's a quick-moving dance there. All right. Let's move on now to the Jockers Dance Orchestra, led by Al Jockers. And this is a medley featuring Goodbye. Boy, I can barely read that. It's so small. Bargravia. Democracy. And Now That We Are All Together. Yes. So it's a nice, this is another 12-inch medley. Boy, this, these discs look really new. Like they've been barely played, which is nice. You know I love playing those clean 78s. You know I love playing those noisy ones too. But let's hear them. Thank you. Oh, man. Just love those good old-fashioned, upbeat 12-inch sides just for nothing but pure pleasure for dancing. Another one step. Yes. Love those. Okay. Moving on to some singers and doing some songs. So, when you think of that song, "Are you lonesome tonight? Can I come back again? Tell me, dear, are you lonesome tonight?" Yes, you think of Elvis, right? But, like a lot of Elvis's songs, and a lot of songs in general, they were covers. And "Are You Lonesome Tonight" was originally written like about 1926 by Lou Handman and Roy Turk. And yeah, it was recorded by quite a few people. I can hear that song making its way through Tin Pan Alley. Everyone's saying, "This is going to be a big hit. It's going to be a big one." And it was marginal. But recorded again later and obviously picked up by Elvis. Among his first recordings when he came out of the army. So, but here's among the first versions of "Are You Lonesome Tonight?" 1927 version by Charles Harrison.
Lonesome tonight. You know, they say, all the world's a stage. And I'm merely a player. And, when the act one was, I came on stage. Act two, I got off. Act three is where you let me go. And that's how it all happened.
Man, what a badly recorded disc. I mean, it's, I think, mostly the shellac. This was on the Banner label. And by the way, if you go on my Instagram, which is Phonograph DJ Mac, one more time, Phonograph DJ Mac, you'll see this really has a fantastic sleeve, beautifully illustrated, that came with this record, original Banner sleeve for the Banner record. Sorry, did I ruin it with my spoken part over it? And so, yes, I couldn't resist. You know, it's in there on, from what I understand, it was actually written in the original record. But I don't know when it was first recorded, actually, that part. So I can't really say for sure. All right, continuing now with a record from 1907. One of our most popular artists of the period, Miss Ada Jones. She did a lot of duets with Len Spencer and Harry McDonough and Billy Murray and all sorts of folks. But here she is, a Victor record. It's a one-sided early one. It says, I think it's Bronco Bob and His Little Cheyenne. You know, it's spelled, it looks like Broncho, but, you know, Bronco's only, there's no H in Bronco, right? I mean, I have to do some spell checking maybe. But, okay, here we go.
Whoa, Buck, easy. Well, Buck, why, you're right. It's her, Little Cheyenne, and I'm riding like the wind. Hello!
Bob, I'll come after all.
After all? I was hoping you'd only come after me.
Still jealous, Bob.
Got no time for teasing, gal. The parson's awaiting, and now you come, we'll go.
Wrong again, Bob. I'll come, but I can't go.
Oh, yes, you can.
I tell you I can't, Bob, and there's a dozen good reasons why.
Well?
Well, first of all, my trousseau didn't come.
Your trousseau? Who's she? Why, we don't need her.
My wedding finery, my dress.
Tut, tut, why, that cowgirl rigging you got on is a heap finer than any of your city trimmings. Why, you never look pretty in your life.
Oh, quick, Bob. Why, look at the mare. Black Bess ain't fit.
Ain't fit? Good laws, the mare got to have a wedding dress, too?
Oh, no, stupid. But she's clean tired out, and she couldn't carry me another mile to save her life.
Well, she won't have to. My buck will carry us both as easy as long. Jump, girl. Hup, hup. Now then, snuggle close and hold tight for the ride of your life. We'll go as soon as the boys get here.
The boys?
Yes, wait a minute.
Yay! Why, what are you doing that for? Have you gone clean crazy?
Yay!
Why, what are you throwing your hat in the air for?
Why, that's the signal to the boys from the ranch. They're over in the canyon yonder with a band. The whole thing's up at our wedding. Don't you hear the tune they're playing, gal? That's the tune I've been humming to you for more than a year. Sing it, girl. Sing it, sing Cheyenne. Go on, girl.
They're yipping it up there. They're yipping it up like real cowboys in the Victor studio. I bet those sweaty guys in tight-fitting suits welcome the moment to do some yipping and yahooing and yap. Yap-ing. All right. Lovely one there. Lovely. Okay. You know, that one feels like it came right off the vaudeville stage. It could have. A lot of early records were artists right off the vaudeville stage doing what they did. And one of the folks of vaudeville was Mr. R.H. Burnside, who was the creative director of the New York Hippodrome from 1908 to 1923. And He ruled it, and he had some lots of interesting shows going on there. And he was part of it, too. He was an actor, too, in some of the shows. He did a little of everything. And we're going to hear one of his recordings, which I don't think he had that many, actually. And what's great about it, it's actually called A New York Hippodrome Rehearsal. So who better than him to give us this interpretation? It's on a Columbia record from 1916.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Mr. Burnside.
Glad to see you all looking so bright and happy. All those who haven't had breakfast will have to wait now until they have lunch. How many absent, Mr. Stewart? Only one? Ah, Cleopatra Cassidy again. Wonder what the excuse will be this time. I suppose she's had a fire in her house and she's waiting for the engines to arrive. Ah, here she is now. Good morning, Cleopatra. What's the trouble this time? Subway tied up again? No? Well, what's happened? You're 15 minutes late and everybody here's waiting for you. What's that?
Had some trouble with my motor again.
Well, you'll have some trouble with your salary again at the end of the week. Now come along, everybody, and let's get this rehearsal started. Stop talking, girls. This isn't a suffragette meeting. We'll begin with a chin-chin number.
Silence!
I said chin-chin, not talk-talk. Why don't you pay attention, Mabel? Where do you think you are, in Central Park? Watch your step now, watch your step. Agnes McCarty, if Mr. Dillingham puts you in the next show, I won't rehearse it. Now stop, look and listen, all of you. The singing last night was awful. You must pay more attention to the musical director. All except you, Agnes. You're paying too much attention to him. If you don't stop it, I'll call his wife's attention to you. Now, girls, you must be more careful during the performance. The show is simply going to pieces. And why? I ask you why. Because of the way you're going through it. And you must stop talking off the stage. Poor Mr. Stewart has lost his voice, asking you to keep quiet. You needn't cry, Miss Mineola. He hasn't lost it for good. You'll hear from him before the day is over, so don't worry. Now, girls, for the love of the Hippodrome, do be more careful in these musical numbers. And sing. For goodness sake, sing. If you're saving your voices for grand opera, take my advice and don't. Another thing, you must stop this solo work in the ballet. You've been taught to do the same steps in unison, and that is the effect. Everybody doing the same step at the same time. So remember that. You particularly, Miss Diamond. You can put that solo stuff you were doing last night in the March of the States in the new show that they're going to do at the stadium next summer, called A Piece of Cheese. That'll make it a strong show. Now cheer up and get together, all of you. Remember that you're just as important in the Hippodrome show as the principal, even if they don't think so. Let your motto be Hip Hip Hooray for the Hippodrome and CBD. Here endeth Lecture 666. Goodbye, girls. I'm through. Now, Mr. Hubble, it's up to you. You'd better let them rehearse the Ladder of Roses and see if they can do it better than they did last night.
No, that record is not exactly cut centered properly. So there's a little bit of an eccentricity to the groove. So you watch the... what happens with that is the reproducer is going a little faster and a little slower on each revolution. So creates a little bit of a warble, a little bit of a wow, I think they call it. And... but yeah, very interesting insight. I love that chorus of all the girls singing together at the end. Nice effect. And nice to hear from a real New York personality, R.H. Burnside. I know he's got a lot of history tied up to early New York creative world. Okay, continuing now with our old friends, Arthur Collins and Byron Harlan. They're always cranking out the records. They're always making them. And 1917, what's the new hot trend? It's jazz. And it's not only for playing about, it's for singing about. It's not for singing, only singing jazz songs. It's for singing about jazz songs. Because Collins and Harlan, they're not really jazz singers, but they do a hell of a parody. Everyone was trying jazz, trying to sound a little jazzy at least. Because, you know, these were the days where artists would do an Irish ballad in the morning, a laughing record in the afternoon, and some darky oratorio later. You know, they're going from every musical style. So Collins and Harlan among them. And here's them singing about jazz. And it's called Everybody's Jazzin' It Now. It's from early 1917, when jazz is just exploding from the original Dixieland Jazz Band releasing their jazz records. And singing about the newest, hottest thing. Newest, hottest thing. All that jazz. Oh, man, I love that. How they... Let's just listen to that end again. They're making jazz a cacophony. Listen to what they think jazz is like. This is their parody of it. Every instrument making noise at once. Go. They're screaming. It's a riot. They think jazz is just a bunch of noise, right? You know, there are a lot of parents who were decrying jazz as bad music for the kids to listen to. And not wanting the kids to listen to all that noise. Because they're going out dancing. They're getting caught up in the spirit. You know, all that stuff. Well, that's not anything new, is it? Is it that every generation of parents have that music? I think it's somewhat changed now because, you know, your kid if my kid listens to hard rock music, I'm like, they're kind of good. Or I'll give it my critique. Some of it's pretty good. You know, it's rare that he can play anything that will offend me. Except if it's One Direction, something like that. He's not into that anyway, which I'm very proud of. Okay. On to one of our sweet little red hot mamas, Miss Mary Ellen Harrison. But we know her all more as Marion Harris. Made lots of bluesy and jazzy recordings starting in around 1916. And into about 1930. Lots of great things that we would know, like I Ain't Got Nobody. Jazz Baby is a great one of hers. After You've Gone. She recorded a lot of great things. Big on the jazz scene. Here she is with a 1916 record entitled Don't Leave Me, Daddy, on the Victor label.
I don't care how mean you are to me. Daddy, don't.
That's one of them pleading bluesy songs. What year is this? 1916 on this song. God, it's so bluesy for 1916, right? It's a can almost be a blues number, but you know, really, blues hasn't really been invented yet. Not that it hasn't been invented yet, hasn't been established on record as a genre, but this is so bluesy. The pleading of it, Don't Leave Me Daddy, the title, the way she's singing it. I mean, if this ain't an early blues record before the thing was defined, then I'll be a monkey's uncle. Well, I probably am a monkey's uncle anyway, but I'm running low on needles. Good thing we're getting... Oh, no, and I just dropped one. That was critical. Oh, man. I'm down to, like, how many needles do I have? Like, two or three? I'm going to have just enough to get through the show. I usually change them every record or two. I might have to stretch it out a little bit here. Well, or talk or something. Make sure I bring needles next week, okay? Note to self. Okay, let's continue now with probably our earliest record of the night. This one is from 1905. That would make it older than 110 years old. But actually, this record's looking like it's in damn good shape. Nice and clean. It's one of these early Columbias, and they're known for having a lot of resistance when they get worn and just basically fighting the motor of the Victrola to get through the record, to push through that resistance. This one's actually quite clean, so it should be okay. And you know I loves my whistling records. So here's Frank C. Stanley with a tune entitled When the Mockingbirds Are Singing in the Wildwood. Let's you and I hope that there's some artistic whistling in this song. I mean, it was really just about, I guess, being out there, in it, mixing it up with the, in the wildwood, you know, and just being out there among the mockingbirds. Not actually any whistling there, which kind of a ripoff, I'd say. You know, if you're going to talk about the birds in the Wildwood, I mean, I want to hear them. I don't want to just hear about them. So there you go. Okay, well, those of you who are regular listeners to this program know that I have certain categories and subcategories that I am interested in finding records about. And one of them, the subcategories, is commuting with the dead. How can you do it? Well, maybe you can fly an airplane to heaven. Maybe it's via a letter. There are all sorts of ways. And there's another way is the telephone. So I found one by, this one's by Byron Harlan. And, you know, he's known for his sad child ballads about dead parents, orphan kids, all sorts of hardship happening. So I think this is going to be in that vein. Let's hear him tell the story. Byron Harlan, I got to look up the date on this one, but it's probably around 1915. Hello, Central. Give me heaven.
Little child seems dear, my
All right. That's what he does. One more. That makes about 15 for my Communicating with the Dead series. I'll maybe do that into a show one day or something. Hey, I want to get a couple more records in before we're done. Here's the Haydn Quartet on a Victor record from 1906, a record called Beauty's Eyes. Okay, nice little barbershop quartet thing there, which Haydn Quartet, well known for. Which is going to do it for this edition of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, folks. I'll be back next week with more records for you to listen to. What will I have next week? I don't know. That's a week away. But always good to bring you a variety of discs and cylinders. Probably be some more cylinders next week. And as I mentioned before, you can follow me on the Instagram, where my handle is PhonographDJMac. And if you want to learn more about the phonograph and interact with other collectors, I have a Facebook page called Antique Phonograph Enthusiasts, which you're welcome to join. And that's going to do it for this edition of the show. I am going to leave you now with a tune, a very early Columbia record from about 1901 called Musical Snapshots. Maybe about 1903. I don't know. It's a number series I don't have access to. And hope you enjoyed listening to all these new old records with me today. I sure did. So until next week, it's your host, Mac, of the Antique Phonograph Music Program, saying nighty night, everybody. This is WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, and 91.9 in Rockland County, and at WFMU.org.
speak of Black Beauty.
I want to speak anyway.
Without Prince Charming, there's nothing Black Beauty. Without Prince Charming, there's nothing Black Beauty.
You just can forget it.
Without Prince Charming, there's nothing Black
Beauty. You forget it if you try.
Without Prince Charming, there's nothing Black Beauty.
Without Prince Charming,
Sleeping Beauty.